Ever since the first Good Friday, 2,000 years ago, the cross and the suffering of Jesus have been the focus of constant meditation and veneration by the Church. We continue this tradition today as we observe the season of Lent, 40 days and nights of meditation on the cross of Jesus in preparation for the remembrance of the days of his death and resurrection. Lent is full of constant reminders of the cross and the suffering of Jesus. For example, we begin the season on Ash Wednesday with the cross of ashes on our foreheads. And then all during Lent, we do the Stations of the Cross. And then we end Lent on Good Friday with the solemn veneration of the cross. But perhaps the most vivid reminder of the cross during Lent are the small sacrifices that we make, the things that we give up during Lent. Each one of these is a reminder of the pain and suffering of Jesus on the cross. We are truly following our Lord's admonition, take up your cross and follow me. But these small signs that we choose, these small crosses that we choose to carry in Lent, also remind us of all the other crosses in our lives that we do not choose to carry, but nevertheless have. The small and large crosses of everyday life that we can't seem to get away from. All of us have crosses that we carry. Maybe we or someone we love has a serious illness. Maybe we're struggling in school, with grades, with friends. Maybe problems in a marriage. Maybe psychological problems that we have to deal with. Great crosses. It could be a million different things. And they can be large and they can be small. In today's gospel, we find a man who's carried a very heavy cross all his life. He was born blind. He couldn't see. A terrible cross to have to carry. But because of his blindness, he also had another heavy cross to carry. He couldn't make a living. He had to beg for a living. Why do we have these crosses? If God is a good God and he really loves us, then why do we ever have to suffer? If Jesus could heal the man born blind, why won't he heal you from your suffering? Why won't he take my crosses from me? What is the purpose? What is the meaning of suffering? I think this is one of the worst parts of suffering, when we can't figure out, why me? When we look at Christ's suffering, the meaning is very clear. He suffered and died to save us from our sins. But for us, we don't always see any reason for all of our suffering. But the thing is, every suffering we endure has a reason, a purpose, a meaning. Just as Jesus transformed his suffering and death on the cross into the resurrection, God always has something good he wants to bring out of our suffering. A few years ago, one of my parishioners suffered from a terribly debilitating illness and went on for years, leaving her in almost constant pain, both physically and emotionally. But through her pain, her faith in Jesus Christ shined through absolutely. So time and time again, she would tell me about how she had been at the doctor's office or at the hospital and met a doctor or a nurse or another patient. And somehow, in their conversation, it had come around to them asking her how she was able to cope with her suffering with so much peace, why she was always smiling, even though she was in such great pain. And then she would share with them her faith in Jesus and her faith that his grace gave her the strength to carry her cross. And then, time and time again, a few weeks later, she'd come back to me and tell me how that stranger had once been an atheist, but now was starting to read the Bible, and how they'd been a Protestant, or they were starting to pray the rosary, or how they'd been a fallen away Catholic, and now they were going to Mass again. And time again, she would praise God for giving her that cross because it enabled her to be in a position to help people to come to the cross and resurrection of Jesus. She understood very clearly that all suffering has meaning and purpose in God's holy and loving will. And she saw her cross as a gift of love from Jesus. Now, suffering can be directly caused by many different things. One of the most prominent causes of suffering is sin, either our sins or the sins of others. When we sin, there's usually some sort of painful consequence. A woman gets drunk on Friday night, she has a hangover on Saturday. The same is true of other people's sins. Their sins against you cause you pain. One teenager gossips about a second teenager, and the sin of the first one ruins the reputation of the second one. The father abandons his family to go off and have some fun, and the wife and children are devastated. Sin causes much suffering. But sometimes suffering has nothing to do directly with sin. Sometimes God chooses to allow us to endure suffering simply as a part of his plan for the salvation of the world. And so in today's gospel, we read this. This is what happens. It says, his disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that the works of God might be made visible through him." And then he cured him. And the works of God were visible through his blindness. God allows the suffering as part of his plan for some greater good, and ultimately as part of his plan for salvation. It's as if God gives you something important to do. Whenever he gives you something important to do, it's always difficult to accomplish. Troops in battle endure great hardship, but they do it willingly because they know their suffering is necessary in order for the success of the mission. Mothers endure great discomfort for 9 months and then agonizing pain in childbirth. And then right afterwards, they're smiling, beaming, holding their little baby. God always intends to bring good from suffering, but sometimes we fight that good. And it's not always easy to see the good. But if you have just enough faith and confidence that Jesus really does love you, that in his plan, all the suffering in life will work out for the good if we allow it to, then you can know there is a reason for your suffering. Even if you can't see what it is, if you trust that Jesus loves you, you know there's a reason, and a great reason. Think of it. Your suffering is part of God's plan for something magnificent. Maybe to save the souls of people around you. Wouldn't that be great if your suffering would allow one person to go to heaven? So then what difference does it make if you know exactly what's going on? Even the suffering we bring on ourselves, the suffering caused by sin, even that has a purpose for the good. Most people nowadays don't want to think about the fact that this kind of suffering is in a sense a punishment. But that's, again, in a sense what it is. We have a hard time accepting that because we still view punishment as like we did when we were 4 years old. You know, daddy's mad at me. Instead of looking at it like an adult, realizing that fathers who love their children allow them to suffer from their mistakes, to suffer the consequences, and even punish them for their mistakes. As Scripture tells us, "For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So even when we suffer from our sins, God either allows it for our own good so that we can repent and change, or for some other good in the greater plan he has for the world. Now, sometimes people talk about suffering, accepting suffering. What they usually mean by that is that they simply come to accept the inevitable. They can't get away from it, so, okay, I'll live with it. But what they should be doing is not merely accepting suffering, but rather Christians should embrace their suffering. This is where suffering, amazingly as it sounds, can bring us joy. Embracing the cross as Jesus did, not as an act of masochism, not an eagerness to suffer, but as an act of love. Jesus loved us and the Father, and so he embraced the cross as an instrument of fulfilling God's, the Father's plan for our salvation. Today's gospel reminds us that the man born blind had been blind from birth and all his life. Imagine how many people discovered the love of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ because of that blind man's illness and Jesus' curing of his illness. Maybe his parents or neighbors, or even maybe some of the Pharisees. Imagine the joy of that blind man who became a disciple, as he says, knowing that not only had God healed him and spoken to him, but that God, Jesus, had allowed him to be an instrument in healing and speaking to all those people in that time. And also imagine in heaven how he's aware and the joy it brings him that he was an instrument of bringing Christ to billions of people who heard that story. In heaven, that's a crown, a jewel in his crown. And so, in the light of Christ's cross, we read elsewhere and understand, "Come to me, all you who find life burdensome. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Today we read that Jesus cured the man born blind, but we know he doesn't heal everyone. Sometimes suffering is necessary. The question is, how do we deal with suffering? Let me say this, though. We are certainly free and sometimes even required to try to overcome suffering. The sick normally should accept the cures that modern science offers through the mercy of God. God gave those gifts to us. We should use them. And there's nothing at all wrong. In fact, we should pray for healing. That God take our crosses from us. That's fine. Jesus himself in the garden, remember, he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, let this pass cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done." So, when it's impossible, when it's clear that this is the cross the Lord just wants us to carry, do we reject suffering altogether? This is useless, because the suffering's still going to be there. We can reject it all night long, but there it is. And all we wind up with is in frustration and despair. Or do we simply merely accept it because it's not going away? Okay, I'll live with this. That's better and more realistic, but it can still leave us wallowing in pain and confusion and even turn us bitter towards God. Or do we embrace our suffering? Do we pick up the cross as Jesus picks up his cross? There's a great scene in the movie The Passion of the Christ where Jesus is carrying his cross and he picks it up after he's fallen, and they say, "Look, he's embracing his cross." Very Catholic. Do we embrace our crosses with love? Rejoicing as St. Paul did when he wrote to the Philippians. Remember, he wrote, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I complete what is lacking in the suffering of Christ for the sake of his body, that is, the church." Christ isn't there to suffer so you can see it. So I'll suffer and you can see God's glory shining through my suffering right now. Today, priests wear the bright rose vestments of Laetare, or Rejoice Sunday, instead of the dark penitential violet of the other days of Lent. This is to remind us of the glory of the resurrection that always shines through the suffering of the cross. As we approach this Eucharist today, let us see that just as the love of Christ crucified transforms the suffering of the cross into the glory of the resurrection, in this Eucharist, that same love of Jesus transforms the bread and wine into his own body and blood, and transforms our sacrifices, our sufferings, into part of Christ's sacrifices on the cross, and our suffering into his share of the joy of the resurrection. There is a reason for all suffering. By God's grace, the man born blind was able to see the reason for his suffering. Let us pray today that God give us the grace through this Eucharist to see the particular reasons for our sufferings. But more importantly, let us pray for the grace to see our sufferings, whatever they are, as truly gifts from Jesus to us, and the grace to embrace our crosses in love, so that, like the man born blind today in the gospel, the works of God might be made visible through us. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.